not know what he said, so I don't mind whatever he said. Who is translating? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shakshurumilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatishva Patantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Rupa Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitham Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Atithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Bhunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Very, very grateful to be with all of you this evening. My heartfelt thanks to the Goenka and Agarwal families for making this event possible, opening the doors of your hearts and your home for us to come. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna teaches us bhakti atva nyanyaya shakyas katham evam itvaja that it is only by undivided bhakti that I can be understood as I am. Bhakti is about relationships. Relationships based on love. The essence of that relationship of love is between the Atma, the spirit soul, and Bhagavan, or God. And for that to manifest, and also the natural result of that, is love for each other. Love is unselfish. The closest thing to pure love in this world, we read, is a mother for a baby child. The baby child doesn't give much of anything to the mother, cries, keeps her up at night, responds to nature's calls in the mother's body sometimes. But the mother is willing to give her life, her soul, her everything without any expectation in return for the child because of love. We find in the principal avatars and their leelas the basis of the Lord's descent is to teach us this type of unselfish relationship. We are having a practical demonstration of mother's selfless love. We sannyasis have a lot to learn from mothers. Thank you. This month of Kartik, also called the month of Damodar, I'd like to just extract a few very holy special days of this month to illustrate how prominent the Lord wants to teach us. The essence of life is pure, unselfish spiritual relationships. During this month, we celebrated Diwali, Deepavali, where Ram was welcomed home back into Ayodhya. But the basis of that is so deep and so nourishing to the heart. Ram was banished to the forest for 14 years by Kaikeyi for the purpose of putting her son Bharat as the king. Bharat had everything. All he had to do was just sit on the throne. He didn't have to fight any wars. He didn't have to do any political campaigning. He didn't have to go canvassing votes. All he had to do was sit on the throne, and he was the king. But he went to the forest of Chitrakoot, on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga. And there he begged Ram from his heart, "You go back to Ayodhya. You be the king. And I will stay here in the forest for the next 14 years, dressed in tree bark and eating roots and herbs." There was quite an argument between the two. Ram said, no, you be the king. I'll stay here in the forest to honor our father's words. And Bharat said, no, impossible. Nobody wants me as king. You be king. Actually, everybody liked Bharat. Everyone liked Ram. He said, you be the king. You go back. It's your rightful heir. You're the rightful heir to the throne because you are the elder brother. Bharat is begging with tears in his eyes from his heart. Let me stay in the forest as a hermit for these next 14 years, and you enjoy being the ruler of Ayodhya. And Ram was begging, no, you are qualified. You be king. I will stay in the forest. Now, where in this world today do we find such relationships of people trying to be on top? People are fighting to be on top. Brothers are fighting to be on top. There's histories of people imprisoning their own fathers to be on top, like Kamsa or Aurangzeb. They imprisoned their own fathers so that they could be on top. Well, here we find what is love? Unselfishness. And ultimately, they had such love for each other that they both won. Bharat could not tolerate being in a higher position than Ram. I cannot sit on that throne if you're in the forest. So Bharat, to honor Ram's word, he went to the forest, Nandigram, on the outskirts of Ayodhya, and lived in a little straw hut, the same kind of hut that he saw Ram was living in Chitrakoot. And he never ate cooked food for 14 years. He ate roots and herbs and sometimes some barley soaked in cow urine. And although he was formally the king, he only wore tree bark. And he never slept in Ayodhya. He'd do his service and then go back to the forest. And he put Ram's wooden sandals on the throne and worshipped them as king. For 14 years he lived like that. 14 years is a long time. That is love. Selfless love. And on the day of Diwali, after the 14 years were expired, Ramchandra had already defeated Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, and the whole Rakshasa dynasty of Sri Lanka. He reestablished religious principles, reclaimed Sita. The love between these two brothers, they hadn't seen each other again for 14 years. Vipralamba. Vipralamba means love in separation. But yet they were so faithful to each other that when it was time to return to Ayodhya, Ram sent Hanumanji, go to Nandigram. Tell Bharat I'm coming to see him. And on the Pushpaka, beautiful airship, Ram came to the forest of Nandigram, and there, after 14 years, he met Bharat. And they embraced, and they cried. They had both proven to each other the selfless love that they shared in their hearts. And now, Bharat was no longer going to be the king. But the beautiful thing is it was the happiest day of his life to give it to Ram. And Ram and Bharat went on a procession from Nandigram into the city of Ayodhya, and all the city citizens welcomed Sri Ramchandra back with lamps, with ghee lamps, and those flames represent the love of their hearts, welcoming Ram back home to rule their lives. And when we light these Diwali lamps, it's for the same purpose. We are welcoming Ram back home in our hearts to rule our lives, to illuminate our hearts. That is the meaning of Diwali, selfless love. That's the meaning of that flame, our intention, our desire for selfless love and service. Another incident happened on the day of Diwali in Gokul, Vrindavan, in the next avatar of Lord Krishna. Diwali, they celebrate Ram's return to Ayodhya, Ram's victory over all ignorance, light over darkness. So early that morning of Diwali, Yashoda Mai wanted to make special sweets for Krishna and for the Brijavasis. So very early, she went to the room in Nanda Bhavan where she was churning yogurt into butter. There was a pole, and there was a rope, and a pot. The pot had the yogurt, and she would pull the ropes, and it would turn the pole, and it would churn. And after a long time, it becomes butter. Have any of you ever made butter through this technique? Believe it or not, I'm an American, and I used to do that every day. Not in Chicago, in New Brindavan. Because I was milking cows, and we had to make our own butter by churning. So she was churning, and as she was churning the butter, she was remembering Krishna. The beautiful pastimes of her little baby child, who had just learned how to walk very recently before. And Gopal, practically as soon as he understand the beauty of Gopal, he is the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the ability in man, the intelligence of the intelligence, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists. But he so much has a loving relationship with Nanda and Yashoda that as a baby, he's depending on them to teach him how to walk. Such love. It's Vatsalya Ras. Now, you and me, we walk all over the place. But God cannot walk. God gives us the power to walk. But just to reciprocate love with his parents, he can't walk. And Nanda Maharaj is trying to teach him. And he'll put out his little finger like this, Nanda. And Krishna will, very tiny little fingers. He's only hardly one year old. He has little fingers, so soft, so delicate, so delicate. Those same little fingers manifested as Lord Nrsingadev to tear Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Yes. Those same fingers now are so tender and so soft. If you just touch them too hard, they look like they'll break. And he's holding on with his little fingers are like buds of fresh flowers. And he's squeezing Nanda Maharaj's little finger as hard as he can. Squeezing and holding on. And Nanda Maharaj picks him up and he takes a few steps. And then he falls to the ground and his finger slips. And he cries. And Nanda Maharaj says, "Oh, please try again."
This is the absolute truth. One of his mere expansions is the Vishwarup, the universal form. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he has thousands of hands and thousands of legs and thousands of mouths, and he's devouring everything in sight. Time I am, the destroyer of everything. And here's the original source of that Vishwarup, Viratrup. And he's on the ground crying, trying to learn how to walk. This is loving relationship. Nanda gives his heart to Krishna, Krishna gives his heart to Nanda. Krishna could walk, Krishna could run, Krishna could fly. As Vamanadeva, two steps he covered the universe. As Krishna, he can't even take one step. Even this big. This is Leela. But as soon as he did learn how to walk, he was soon running and stealing butter. Now people, some scholars, I have given many classes in very prestigious universities in the United States of America, and some American scholars who have studied and gotten their PhDs in Sanskrit and in Indian literature, they will challenge, why you worship Krishna? He steals. He's immoral. Now, I only went to one semester of college. I'd be honest with you, I got my education in the caves of the Himalayas. I didn't get any written degrees or anything. But I respond, have you read Bhagavad Gita? You cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam until you first understand Bhagavad Gita. You cannot understand the mathematical science of trigonometry before you learn addition and subtraction. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshwara. I am the proprietor of everything that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual worlds. I am the source of all material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Krishna's creating, maintaining, destroying, everything is his property. What does he have to steal? Can I steal my own chatter? It's my chatter. At least that's my illusion. Nothing is ours. Everything is Krishna's. The evidence of proprietorship is control. And ultimately, we have no control over anything. Even our own bodies get sick. And even if we have good doctors and everything, they get old. And inevitably, the body must die. And you have to leave everything behind. Which means we really are not the proprietors of anything. Otherwise, nothing could take it away. Everything belongs to God. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richchati. In the 5th chapter of the Gita, Krishna tells, this is the simple formula of how to be peaceful. In this turbulent, stressful world, people want peace. In all the conflict between nations and races, people want peace. Conflict between religions, intelligent people are looking for peace. But there's a formula. To understand that God is the proprietor of everything and just cooperate. Everything is ultimately meant for his enjoyment, and we as the children Aham Bija Pratapita, God is the father and mother of every living being. As the children, we are meant to simply utilize God's property for God's pleasure. And have faith that He's the supreme friend of everyone. What kind of friend is Krishna? As the Paramatma, the super soul, He's within our heart. And that same little super soul is in your heart birth after birth after birth, no matter what you do. You can defy Him, you can blaspheme Him, you can reject Him, you can destroy His property, you could kill His own children, your brothers and sisters, and He's still there with you, watching, just waiting for you to just turn to Him. Such a friend. So when Krishna would steal butter, the stealing was the most beautiful thing in the world. God takes such a humble position that He steals His own property. So sweet. And nobody's disturbed. Everyone's happy. The gopis would sometimes complain to Yashoda, what is little Gopal doing? Every day he's coming to our house. Do you know what he does? In the early morning, he and his friends look around. And then they come and they untie the calves. And the calves run to the cows and start drinking all the milk. And then our whole family comes running out trying to catch the calves so that we have some milk. And while we're in the goshala trying to take the calves away from the cows, Krishna and his friends invade our homes and break our butter pots and steal our butter and feed them to monkeys. And sometimes we catch him and he falls at our feet and says, I beg you, don't tell Nandan Yashoda. I promise I'll never do it again. One gopi caught Krishna. And she said, I'm going to bring you to Mother Yashoda. And Krishna, little Gopal said, no, no, please don't. My mother will punish me. Please don't take me. Now this is God. Don't forget that He's God. He's all powerful. But He's begging a gopi, please don't take me to my mother. And then he finally, when she said, no, I'm taking you. Enough of this butter stealing. He said, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I warn you. So the gopi brings, says to Yashoda, that your son is stealing my butter. And Yashoda Mai said, what? Stealing butter? Gopal, why have you done? And then Yashoda Mai looks and she said, that's not my son. And the gopi looks, and it was her son. The gopi was really embarrassed. She's complaining to Yashoda that Gopal's stealing, but it was that gopi's son stealing. She was totally confused and really embarrassed. And then she says, my darling son, you know, come home. I don't know what happened. And they leave Yashoda's house and they're walking home. And then she looks and he becomes Gopal again. And Gopal smiles at her and says, I warned you. She said, if you do it again, I will become your husband. That will be really embarrassing for you. So when the gopis would come and complain to Yashoda Mai, Yashoda Mai said, oh, then I will tie up Krishna. And they, no, actually, we only make our butter because we're hoping Krishna will come to steal it. That's all. Our greatest pleasure is in seeing Krishna come to steal our butter And what enhances that pleasure even more is when we get to talk about Krishna by complaining to you about how he steals. This is our ecstasy, to complain about Krishna, because it's Krishna Katha. Krishna's not stealing butter. He's stealing the hearts of his devotees with love. That's how he steals. He's Hari. He steals our hearts by his beauty, his sweetness, his charm, his love. So Yashoda Mai, she was thinking that Krishna's going to so many gopis' houses to steal butter. I have to make better butter at home so that he's satisfied. So she had, Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And of them, only 8, they would eat very, very special, fragrant, high-quality grass that was personally grown by Yashoda Mai. And it wasn't watered. It was watered with the milk of the best cows. And then the best cows would eat that grass. And their milk was extremely fragrant, like fresh lotus flowers. What to speak of the nectarine taste? You can smell it from long distances away. And that is what she would make the butter for Krishna with. So on this morning of Diwali, because it's the special day of Lord Ram's victory over Ravana and Lord Ram's return to Ayodhya, she wanted to make special prasad for Krishna. So she's churning the butter. And as she's churning, she's remembering Gopal and singing his beautiful baby pastimes. And as she's singing and remembering Gopal, motherly tears are coming from her eyes. And in motherly affection, milk begins to flow from her breasts. Now Gopal accepts our devotion. He's sleeping in bed. But when milk started flowing from Yashoda, he became extremely thirsty to drink that milk. Now, it's not the milk that Krishna's thirsty for. It's the love that invokes that milk. Krishna is bhava grahi. That means he accepts the loving intentions of his devotees. He doesn't accept the thing you offer. He accepts the love in which it's offered. Yashoda Mai's love was so great, it woke up Krishna. And he ran to the site, and she's trying to churn butter, and he, with one little hand, he holds the churning rod, and with the other hand, he says, "Stop, I've come. I want to drink your milk." And he climbs up on her lap, and she begins to feed him her own milk. This is Vishvambar, the nourisher of the entire universe, being nourished by his mother's love. And as he's drinking, Yashoda Mai had this very special milk I was telling you about, Padmaganda milk. It was on the stove, and it was overflowing. Now, some of our acharyas explain that in Vrindavan, everything is done in a very personal way. Nothing is just gross matter. Everything is conscious. That's the spiritual world. So the milk is thinking that my whole existence is only to become a milk sweet for Krishna. That's why I'm being boiled. But Krishna's drinking Yashoda's milk, and her motherly love is so supreme, he's going to just keep drinking her milk. He's going to have no need for me. So if he's not willing to accept me, no use in my living. I will enter into fire. So the milk boiled over into the fire. Yashoda Mai wanted to save that precious milk for Krishna. She put Krishna down and ran to the stove to take the milk off. But Gopal wanted to show the world that we should not put any priority in front of him. So he wanted to do some mischief. He took a stone and broke the pot, clay pot. And then the yogurt, butter, flowed on the floor. Then he ran to another room. And there he saw very complete good churned butter hanging from ropes from the ceiling. So there was a wooden grinding mortar used for grinding spices, and he climbed up it. And he reached up and got the butter. And then he called his monkeys. And through the windows and into the courtyard, so many monkeys started jumping in. And he was feeding them all butter. It is said that in Ram Leela, Ram was living in the forest. He had no possessions for 14 years. And those monkeys from Kishkinda, they helped him. They worked really hard to find Sita, to fight against Ravana, to build the bridge. 100 miles wide, 800 miles long, they built this bridge over the Indian Ocean. People in Bombay are very proud of that bridge that they made. It's a couple miles long and, you know, a few meters wide. It's a nice bridge. But can you imagine if we had the monkeys of Kishkinda to build our bridges? It would be done in a couple days. There would be no traffic jams anywhere. So they worked so hard, and Ram had nothing to give them. So Krishna's thinking that now I will call the monkeys and I will give them something in return, my mother's butter. So in this spirit, he was feeding all the individually. How fortunate are these monkeys? The supreme absolute truth, Gopal, is personally looking in their eyes and smiling upon them, and with his beautiful little baby lotus-like hands, he's filling their hands again and again and again and giving them so much butter that they're filled up. Sometimes, on other occasions, he fed each monkey so much that the monkey couldn't eat anymore, and then Gopal would take the pots and throw them on the ground and say, "Your butter is so useless, even monkeys don't want it." On this occasion, as he's feeding monkeys, Yashoda Mai comes back. And she sees where she was feeding Krishna, the pot is broken, the yogurt butter is on the floor. This must be my Gopal. And then she saw little tiny footprints, butter footprints. Because Gopal stepped in the butter and then he ran away. So Yashoda Mai is like a detective. She's following the footprints. She knows if she just keeps following the butter footprints, she's going to reach Gopal. And as she's following, she sees in the next room, he's on the wooden grinding mortar, feeding monkeys. And looking, very frightened, excited look. His eyes were darting this way and that way, looking for his mother. So she picked up a little stick, tiny little stick, just to make him afraid. She would never hit him. But she took that little stick and she very quietly crept behind Gopal. But as she was approaching, the monkeys, they saw her. They had to warn her. They start jumping through the windows and running away because they were really afraid of Yashoda Mai. And then Cowherd boys, they saw what was going on, that Gopal's about to get caught, and they were like running away and hiding behind trees because they didn't want to be a part of this conspiracy. So Gopal sees everybody running, and he turns around and he sees his mother with a stick, and he jumps off the grinding mortar and runs away. And she runs after him, and he runs away. And there's running. It's a chase. Queen Kunti, she remembered this scene in her love for Krishna. She was praying. You are feared by fear personified, but you're afraid of Yashoda. Krishna says in Gita, I am death personified. Everyone's afraid of death. But yet he's afraid of a gopi. He's not afraid of Hiranyakashipu. He's not afraid of Ravana. He's not afraid of Kumbhakarna. We read about Kumbhakarna. He's a very scary person. He's not afraid of Agasura. But he's afraid of Yashoda. This is love. He's running away, and she's chasing. And as she's running, the flowers in her hair start falling because she's running. Now, there's two camps of flowers that were in her hair. Some were on her side, and some were on Krishna's side. They were both jumping off. The ones that were on Krishna's side, they were thinking that if she catches Krishna and punishes him, if I'm on Mother Yashoda's hair, then I'm part of this conspiracy. I don't want to be a part of punishing Krishna. So they jumped off to the floor. The ones on Yashoda Mai's side, she's running as fast as she can, but she can't catch Krishna. Maybe it's because of my excessive weight. So I'll lessen the load to make her run faster by jumping off. And in this way, all the flowers were coming down. And eventually, she caught Krishna. By Krishna's own sweet will. Yogis, who even control their minds, they cannot catch Krishna. The greatest scholars cannot catch Krishna. But Yashoda Mai, her love caught Krishna. And then little Gopal, he looks at his mother and starts crying. And the black cudgel under his eyes is mixing with tears. And it's becoming black tears. And it's going down his face and on his chest. A beautiful sight. Like a beautiful blue lotus with bumblebees. Black bees. And his lips are quivering. Limbs are trembling. And he's crying to his mother, please put down that stick. I'm guilty. I admit it. But I promise you I'll never do it again. Please don't hit me. Put down your stick. And Yashoda Mai saw Krishna was so scared that she threw the stick away. And she said, you naughty boy, why did you break the butter pot and why are you feeding all my butter to monkeys? Haven't I taught you better than this? Now it was Diwali, so she had many responsibilities. Many guests would come to the house because Nanda and Yashoda are the king and queen of Vrindavan. And she was afraid, what will Krishna do if I just let him loose? He's so mischievous today. So she decided to tie him to the grinding mortar so he would be safe while she did her seva. So she took a very soft silk rope, one that was used for tying the calves when the mother was being milked. And she put it around Krishna's little tiny waist. But it was, the rope was 2 fingers too small. So that was not a problem. Yashoda Mai got some more rope, tied it to the original rope, put it around Krishna's waist. Again, it was exactly 2 fingers too small. She got more rope, and more rope, and more rope. There were meters and meters and meters and meters of rope all tied together, and every time she went to put it around Krishna, it was exactly the same. 2 fingers too small. This is inconceivable. Soon other gopis, they heard about this unbelievable spectacle, and they all came from their own houses with their own ropes, all different colored ropes. And they were helping Mother Yashoda tie the ropes to the original ropes. And they were tying more and more and more ropes. And every time Mother Yashoda put it around Gopal, it was exactly 2 fingers too small. The beautiful thing about this is the ropes are growing, 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 and growing. But Gopal's waist is exactly the same. It's not that he became fat. Such a miracle. When Vamanadeva wanted to cover the universe, he grew Urukram. He became huge and with 2 steps. But Gopal can be unlimited and stay the same size. There's that other Leela that took place a little later at Brahmandagat, where Balaramji complains with some of the other gopas, we saw Gopal in a secluded place eating dirt. Now what does that do to a mother? No matter what to speak of a little child like Gopal, even when you're 58 years old, your mother's worrying about what you're eating. Yes? Mother's love never changes. Yes, Gauranga Prabhu? Gauranga Prabhu's mother was on the yatra. I know she's worrying about what you're eating. We had a yatra in Mayapur, Navadweep, and there was approximately 4,000 devotees there. And Gauranga Prabhu was in charge of cooking for everyone. He had a team headed by Radha Ballabha Prabhu, who is also one of our esteemed guests tonight, and so many others. And they were cooking, they were waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning to cook 3 meals a day for 4,000 people. And his mother and father, Gauranga Prabhu's mother and father, came to the yatra. And last night they were at our program here in Calcutta. And I said, just see this reciprocation of love. You fed your son all your life, and now he's feeding you. But the difference is, Gauranga is not worried about what his mother eats. But his mother is always worrying about what he's eating. That's the nature of a mother. Honest, do you worry about what your mother is? I 100% guarantee if she was here, she would say, yes, of course. So, you ate dirt. He said, no, I didn't eat dirt. Then let me look in your mouth. He opened his mouth. His mouth was only this big, at the most this big. Literally, this big mouth. And she looked inside, and what did she see? The entire universe. She saw all the mountains, the Himalayan mountains, the Vindhya mountains, the Rocky mountains, the Appalachian mountains. Mount Sumeru. She saw the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, the Antarctic Ocean. She She saw all the forests and all the trees and all the demigods and all the human beings and all the animals. She even saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. She saw everything. And all that was contained, and his mouth didn't get bigger. It didn't even go like this. It just stayed like that. That's Gopal. If we believe in God, we have to understand that God is Achinta Shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. He can do anything. One time, a very proud intellectual thought he could trick our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. Said, if God can do anything, then can he create a rock that he cannot lift? If he can create a rock that he cannot lift, then he's not all-powerful. And if he cannot create a rock that he cannot lift, then that means there's something he can't do. Does that make sense? Prabhupada said, Krishna can make a rock that he cannot lift, but then he can lift it. Little Gopal, Nanda Maharaj says, bring my shoes. And he's struggling to get his shoes on his head. And everybody was looking. One time Nanda Maharaj said, please bring this something as a tray. And Krishna was pretending to be struggling and struggling, but he couldn't lift it. But then when Indra sent rains, he took Govardhan Hill and went like this. This is Krishna. So on this particular day of Diwali, Mother Yashoda is bringing more and more and more ropes, and it's always two fingers too small. And Yashoda Maya is so concerned with Krishna, the other gopis are telling her, it's Krishna's destiny today that he's not supposed to be tied up. You've already have hundreds and hundreds of ropes and it's still too small. But the gopis were celebrating a festival of ropes. And just seeing Gopal doing this was enchanting their hearts. But even though they're seeing this incredible mystic power, none of them could conceive that he's God. They were just thinking, it's his destiny that he's not supposed to be tied up today. Because if they thought he was God, they could not love him as a mother. And all the gopis of Vrindavan, the elder, loved Krishna as a mother for a child. Yashoda Mai said, no, it's my duty as mother, I have to tie him up to protect him. And then she smiled and said, besides that, I want to see how many ropes I have to tie together to bind my son. And this was going on for a long time, and her sari was becoming loosened. She was perspiring. And Krishna could see she wants so much to tie me up. I will allow her to tie. And then finally, miraculously, the rope went all the way around him. And Yashoda Mai was, happening. Can you imagine Yashoda Mai's emotional inspiration when finally after all these hundreds of ropes it goes right around him so easily? And then she ties it. Oh, that was ecstasy for Yashoda Mai. And for Krishna. Because that rope symbolizes Yashoda Mai's love. Krishna's greatest pleasure is to be bound by the love of his devotees. What do those two fingers represent? The two fingers that were required to actually bind Krishna. One finger represents our determined endeavor. And that determined endeavor has to be unselfish. On the path of bhakti, we have to have determination, we have to have enthusiasm, we have to endeavor. God helps those who help themselves. We can't be lazy. Krishna explains in Gita, laziness is a great enemy. We have to endeavor, but we have to endeavor with a proper spirit. We have to be serious, sincere, and we have to have no ulterior motives. That means no selfishness. We're not endeavoring in the path of bhakti so that we can become famous, so that we can have followers, so that we can gain things simply for ourselves. We're doing it for Krishna. And whatever may come, it comes and we'll use it. But we're doing it for Krishna. This is endeavor. And Yashoda Mai's endeavor means even despite all obstacles, even when things seem impossible, we keep endeavoring. My beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he had a book trust, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And there was a whole team of people in many cities working together to publish his books. And working really, really hard, they were publishing one book every 3 months. And they thought, this is great. Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, the headquarters, and told the leader of Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, I have translated the whole Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It will be 17 volumes. I did my part. I translated. Why so slow? Srimad Bhagavatam, they were doing one book every 3 months. He said, I want all 17 volumes in 2 months. Fully, that means illustrated, transcribed, Sanskrit, transliterations, translations, purports, everything I've done on tape, I want it all in published book form on the market in 2 months. 17 volumes. He said, we can only do one volume every 3 months, and you want 17 volumes in 2 months? Said, Prabhupada, it's impossible. Now, to say that to a devotee of Krishna, you have to be ready for anything. Prabhupada looked at him. He wasn't angry. He was just very matter of fact. He said, impossible is a word only in a fool's dictionary. Endeavor. Now it wasn't going to happen by devotees just sitting in the temple chanting Maha Mantra and thinking, Krishna, please manifest those 17 volumes in large quantities. They had to do their japa very, very carefully, and they had to do their kirtan very carefully, and they had to do their Bhagavad Katha very carefully, so that they had the determination and the faith to overcome the apparent impossibility of it. And they endeavored. And believe it or not, one day before the 2 months ended, they came and brought Prabhupada all 17 volumes. So the first finger is our endeavor, our determination, and the purity of our purpose. Serious, without selfish motives. If we do our part, then the other finger is Krishna's mercy. Bhagavan Kripa. When the Lord sees that we are sincere, serious, and we have no ulterior motives than to please Him and serve Him, then Krishna bestows His complete mercy. And with that mercy, all obstacles can be overcome. And most importantly, with that mercy, Krishna himself becomes subordinate to the love of a devotee. Yashodamai bound Krishna. In the Damodarastakam, Satyavrat Muni, he prays. He says, I do not want any material blessings, even elevation to the heavens of Swargaloka. I do not want any amount of property in this world, nor do I want mystic cities, supernatural yogic powers. I don't even want elevation to Vaikuntha. I only want one thing, that this beautiful, sweet Leela of Yashodamai capturing baby Krishna, that Leela is forever enacted within my heart. And I'm always remembering that. There is no blessing, no pleasure, no higher ecstasy than just remembering how Krishna agrees to be captured by the love of his devotee. And then Yashodamai went to do her Diwali Seva for Krishna. And Krishna decided, I'm going to do something even more mischievous now. But that's another story. He started pulling the grinding mortar, and he happened to see two trees. Those two trees were standing there for a long time. And Krishna just crawled and crawled and crawled in the ground. He crawled between the two trees, but he did it in such a way that the grinding mortar got caught between them, and he just pulled one more time, and these gigantic, immense Arjuna trees collapsed to the ground. And two beautiful devatas came out, Nalakuvera Manigriva. They were so proud, arrogant, due to their high birth, physical beauty, their educational qualifications, their wealth being the sons of Kuvera, that they become proud. And they did not respect a sage like Narada. So Narada, out of his kindness, cursed them to be trees. But he did it in such a way that there would be trees in Krishna's courtyard. And they were conscious and aware. They had the full demigod mentality in the body of trees. And they were watching Krishna's Leela. And they became purified. So all this happened. It's all about relationship. The relationship of Yashoda and Krishna. The relationship of Bharat and Ram. Selfless love. Each one wanting to be conquered by the other. And also this month is Govardhan Puja. Little 7-year-old Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand because of the torrential rain sent by Indra, because he felt insulted by Krishna's words. But during those 7 days, the most beautiful, sweet relationships of love took place. All the gopas, all the gopis, all the cows, all the calves, everyone got to be with Krishna for 7 continuous days. Everyone was just looking at Krishna. And Krishna, by his power of love, could make everyone feel that he's looking only at them. Wouldn't you have loved to have been under that hill for those 7 days? Krishna in his threefold bending form of Giridhari. And as he's holding the hill, he's playing his flute with one hand sometimes. And just by his gaze, he's fully reciprocating his supreme love. His glance is his love. And it's through our eyes, through his eyes, it comes to our eyes and goes right to the core of our heart. And there he's embracing our very soul. That is what happens when Krishna glances upon us. 7 days and seven nights of supreme happiness, relationships. Our acharyas explain that we cannot have these type of relationships with Krishna until we first learn to have these relationships amongst each other as devotees. Now in this world, to have a lasting relationship that's meaningful, there has to be a lot of forgiveness, a lot of tolerance, a lot of respect, a lot of humility, and there has to be a higher principle than our own selfish desires. When the prajetas, all of them were together in the wilderness performing tapasya, Vishnu appeared to them and told them that I have come to give you my darshan and fulfill all your desires because I am, for one reason, because I am pleased by your loving relationships that you have with each other. In Krishna consciousness, this is what family means. This is what friendship means. This is what society means. This type of unselfish relationships, like Bharat and Ram, to be there for each other. When we develop those relationships with each other, then Krishna naturally awakens that relationship for us. When we study and hear the beautiful pastimes of Yashoda and Krishna, the gopis and Krishna, it's the standard of selfless, pure love. And if we just have a service attitude, a humble service attitude, and with that mood, we chant the holy names. God is not different than his names. Hare is Radha. Krishna and Ram are the Supreme Lord, the all-attractive. Simply by chanting the holy names and having proper relationships, our heart becomes completely cleansed. We just endeavor to have such relationships, endeavor to chant the holy names, and if we do so sincerely, by Krishna's mercy, love awakens within our heart. Universal love, spiritual love for Krishna, for everyone. Our heart becomes Vrindavan. Then when we hear these beautiful pastimes of the Lord, they're not just words. When we hear these pastimes with love, they are literally, directly, presently being enacted within our hearts. We are there. That is the perfection of life. And I'm so happy to be here. First time I've ever come, but I really feel at home because of the hospitality. And Radhe Shyam Goenkaji and Radhe Shyam Agarwal. I heard from others that you've been friends for many, many years. How many years? You'd rather...
More than 50 years.
How many here in this room, ladies, you don't have to answer this question. How many in this room are more than 50 years old? There's only three of us. Ladies didn't have to answer. They have been friends longer than all of you have been alive in this particular incarnation. Now, so many of us, how many different batches of friends have we had? Even in 20 years, 25 years, so many different batches of friends. They come, they go, we change. It's friends for 50 years. That's only possible. And not only friends, but friends that work together. What I've seen in traveling in the world is usually you can keep a friendship if you don't work together. Even brothers, for brothers to be friends, it's very rare in this stage. Now, I'm very dear friends with my two brothers, but I have to be honest with you. One brother is a professional musician who lives in Northern Illinois. The other brother is a businessman who owns car washes, who lives in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm a swami who lives in Bombay. So it's very easy to remain friends. Very easy. There's nothing we have in common to argue about. And my father's so proud that all my sons are best of friends. Because all of his other relatives and friends, all their sons are always fighting. Sometimes, really, he tells me stories that there's brothers and sisters and brothers and brothers of some of his best friends and relatives who have not spoken a single word to each other in 30 years. So he's so proud. They're my children. They're such good friends. Well, you know. Just having one son that's a swami makes everything very good as far as I know. And usually whenever there's a conflict between my two brothers, my father calls me, the swami, to please sort it out. But it's very difficult. Unless there's very unselfish service attitude with a higher principle. So what the two of you have done in Kali Yuga is impossible. To remain friends and work together for over 50 years.
And God has been very kind, sir.
And you're sitting next to each other? Even when you're out of the office and you're smiling at each other, you love each other. And your families love each other. This is beautiful. Yes. Adhishan Prabhu said, God is very kind to us. He just revealed his secret. If we think it's because of us, then we lose the grace. But if we understand my only qualification and the only reason is because God is kind to us, then we are empowered by God's kindness. If we recognize that our only qualification is God's kindness, then we are empowered by God's kindness. But as soon as ahankar, prakrite kriyamanani, ahankara vimudatma, as soon as we think that it's me, then we disconnect from God's kindness. God's kindness is there, but we disconnect ourselves from it. So we are very proud and We as God brothers and fellow devotees of ISKCON from different gurus and everything like that, they have different fathers, yes? But still they're brothers, they're more than brothers. So within our society, we may have the same guru, we may have different gurus. But we can be more than brothers if we have that higher principle, selfless service. So actually, I'm giving a lecture just as an excuse to be here. But we've come to learn from both of you. We've come to learn from your families. Practical endeavor, depending on God's kindness and the miracle that comes when that happens. And we thank you very much. It's a great lesson. Your relationship is a great lesson to the whole world.
We need your blessings.
You have my heart. Whatever's contained in my heart is yours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.